glory, his divine story. Every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Size Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m. Shri Sai Ram. Let us begin Morning Glory by pouring our heartfelt love, and grateful salutations at the lotus feet of the Divine Founder Chancellor of the Sri Satyasai Institute of Higher Learning, which incidentally just turned half a century old this past week. Sai Ram and good morning, dear listeners. Welcome to Morning Glory on Thursday Live. Today is the 26th day of July 2018, and this broadcast is coming to you live in real time from Prashanti Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. The current time in the Divine Valley is exactly 48 minutes past 9 a.m. I apologize for logging in late. The Go Green program in the Mandir was going on for a bit longer than expected. And it was a wonderful program. I hope you were able to tune in to the live broadcast that was coming to you from the Sai Kulwant Hall. Prevailing weather conditions call for a daytime high of 34 and overnight low of 24 degrees Celsius. Currently, we are expecting 27 degrees Celsius or about 81 in Fahrenheit. The sky is a mix of sun and cloud. There's a tinge of humidity in the air today. To say that the last few days in the ashram have been hectic would be an understatement, because it has been one carnival after another. Today, the Go Green Conference of the Satyasai International Organization is to conclude. Day before, yet another batch of Satyasai International Leadership Program graduated. But the showstopper in the Mandir in recent times has been the grand celebrations of the Golden Jubilee of the Sri Satyasai Institute of Higher Learning's Anantapur campus that occurred on Saturday, 21st of July, 2018. Bhagwan Baba's daughters turned up in thousands, that is to say over 2,000 with family members, to offer their collective gratitude to the master who founded our sacred alma mater. Ladies who joined the college in 1968 onwards, including the graduates from the 1970s, the 80s, the 90s, the millennials, all 50 batches were represented, and the ladies shone like bright sunflowers in the morning in their golden yellow saris, and like Goddess Durga in the afternoon when they wore their deep red maroon saris. Each alumna had an exclusive experience with their beloved Bhagwan, and this is a typical tale of every devotee, how Swami makes each one of us feel special in our own unique way. I will be speaking to a few of them who I have managed to gather up here this morning. I will also play for you a brand new episode of Tryst with Divinity with Ms. Nityashree Mahadevan, the renowned Carnatic vocalist. She is in conversation with Mrs. Sumitra Krishnan of Chennai. And since we are talking about the Go Green Conference in Prashanti Nilayam, I would like to share the following piece of advice with all of us from Bhagwan Baba. Baba says, and I quote him, "Some people today do not do any physical exercises and lead a sedentary life. My advice to office goers and students is that it is good for them to commute by cycle at least 5 or 6 kilometers a day. The cycling exercise is very useful to maintain your good health and to reduce your expenses on automobiles. Another big advantage is to avoid accidents and reduce atmospheric pollution caused by the release of harmful fumes from automobiles. The carbon dioxide smoke from motor vehicles and factories is already polluting the air in cities and affecting the ozone layer above the earth. All the five elements are affected immensely by pollution today. Hence, you should try to reduce the use of automobiles and control emission of harmful industrial effluents. You should always act in harmony with nature, which is a reflection of divinity. Your primary duty now is to purify the environment you live in. Unquote. This was taken from a divine discourse that Bhagwan Baba delivered on the 6th of February in 1993. By the way, dear listeners, an inappropriate perhaps, but an interesting aside I want to share with you is that even Vladimir Putin of Russia walks half a kilometer to his car because he prefers that his car is parked a little far away and he gets his daily exercise. And I guess those long corridors of the Kremlin also help him to keep his step count on his Fitbit. With this, I welcome a group of my sisters from the Anandpur alumni who have kindly joined me this morning with thousands others who have returned home, all feeling recharged and reconnected by the recent event that we had, the recent reunion. I will also be reading out the reactions and feedback of sisters that I have received their feedback on my Facebook page over the last few hours. And if you still have time and you want to answer my question on Facebook, just look for me under the name Karuna Munshi. But the feedback that I receive only in the next little while, I will be able to read, because sometimes people keep feedbacking till the next morning, but my show ends at 11, so I'm bound by the time constraint. And my question on the Facebook page was, what are the top five or less words that come to your mind when you reflect on the recent hashtag ATP Golden Jubilee? Tell us your spontaneous reaction to the 50th anniversary celebrations on my Facebook page in response to my question that I have posted there. With that question thrown to open to all our listeners, including our alumni, including devotees who watched or participated in this event, I'm now going to turn to my sisters who are here, and I'm going to request, I have a handful of my sisters here, I'm going to request each one of them to please briefly introduce themselves, where they're from, and the year of graduation, and then we will pick up the pace. Let's first find out how many of us turned up. So what was the total headcount and how many were here? Maybe the accommodation team can lead us through that.
Sairam Karuna, I'm Nirmala from Singapore.
Sairam.
I'm from the 1985 batch of the Satisai Institute of Higher Learning. When we started planning, we had put in a survey to find out how many girls would come, and at last count, 1,200 girls had indicated that they would be coming, but we were pleasantly surprised and overwhelmed to know that around 1,600 to 1,700 girls.
Wow, that's a huge number.
Just the alumna, and we had 400 plus present students, and another 300 plus family members, and this is probably the first time that so many alumna have brought entire families for the event in Patti. And probably I would say the total number would be somewhere between 2,300 and 2,500. We still don't have the exact numbers. So this has been really exciting, overwhelming, and a part of feeling that we have come back to our mother's home.
Thank you very much. And if some members of your team can share other details of how this was organized and what their role was.
Yeah. Sairam Sister Karuna.
Sairam.
I'm Nivedita Prakash, an alumna from the Sri Satisai Institute of Higher Learning from the 88-91 batch. And I was a part of the registration accommodation team, and I was doing the registration and the counting and responsible for the counting of the darshan numbers and the canteen numbers. So I used to take the help of the alumni seniors, and they used to help me out to do the counting in a much more simpler and easier way. And as Swami always expects everything to be so perfect and exact, everything was going on so smoothly and nicely with the grace of Swami that we felt it was so nice to welcome the girls in a loving and warm way. Sweet way.
And a systematic way.
Yeah, a systematic
way. Yeah, very nice. And if I may just add, Nivedita is from Bangalore and Nirmala came all the way from Singapore. Over to you.
Sairam Karunadi, Ekta Yaw from Nagpur.
Sairam.
I was blessed to be an alumna of Sri Satisai Institute of Higher Learning, class of 2009. And I was very lucky to be part of both the accommodation team as well as the Vedam team. As part of the accommodation team, I was taking care of the registration of girls who were coming here but did not need the accommodation. I was registering for them.
So they had their own places to stay.
Absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm. So in the midst of everything, I learned a lot of things, how to work as a team, which gave me a beautiful experience, a very nice, loving, warm welcome to everyone. And I saw tears of joy, tears of happiness. And when I saw sisters who met their batchmates after 35, 40 years, it gave me tears of joy myself to see their union. It was like a Bharat Milap for everyone. So it was, where else in the universe would we find such a warm welcome and such a loving gestures of everyone? And it was a very nice experience for us, but also a learning that next time, which initiative we as a team would take is we would go live on Excels with our own experience of industry. And I'm sure we would succeed in that. We'll start working on it from now itself for the future gathering, I'm sure. And as a Vedam team participant, we were practicing from the past 2 months. And I'm very lucky to say that Sai Sudha sister, who is also present here, she was guiding us all throughout through WhatsApp groups. Now we are a part of so many WhatsApp groups. And luckily, we can now work towards the common goal as a team, you know, through WhatsApp, through Telegram, through so many things. So we are very lucky that way. And Vedam, we got to know the technicalities of so many mistakes we were making. Beautiful learning, I would say. Extremely humbled and extremely grateful to give us this opportunity. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ekta.
Sairam Karuna.
Sairam, Shampa.
I'm Shampa from Kolkata. I'm 1979 batch. It's my privilege. I don't know how to say. I must thank Bhagwan. I got an opportunity to work in the registration and accommodation team, and it was so beautiful working all of us together. And some of my batchmates I'm seeing 30 years. I have not seen them only, and I was so excited. And I was just taking care of making the badges, and the badges look so wonderful. It's just like a gold medal.
Yeah, we were all gold medalists.
Yeah,
that's gold medalists walking.
And when I looked into the badge and I was thinking, Swami, I didn't receive gold medal from you, but now see, I've got gold medal. And I was so excited. I was so happy. And when I was making the badges for 400 students, present students, Anantapur, for them we made, and for all of us, say nearly about 1,500, I think, no?
600.
Yeah. So it was so nice, and you know, all of us working together, we forgot, like, we had not had our breakfast. Our team, Nirmala, she was reminding us, all of you go into batches and have your food, otherwise, you know, you can't work like that. But we were not hungry. We were, you know, just we were engrossed. We never went for even darshan. We were there only, and it was really mind-blowing seeing all the girls, and we were so happy. And once again, like, we are looking forward such this thing again. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Shumpa. One more member from the team?
No.
Then I just want to add one point here. I noticed what was fantastic about the accommodation and registration team was the coordination and the willingness to sacrifice, because many girls kept sending messages on the email ID, I'm arriving in the middle of the night. So people were arriving at the oddest of hours, and the accommodation and registration made sure that the gate, ashram gate, was informed to let those girls in, and they slept right next to the registration office, so that they were, no matter at what time anyone came, in the end, registration was available 24/7 during those 2 days. I don't know how you girls pulled it off. It was amazing.
I must say, Karuna, that it was a team effort. We had sisters who really literally sacrificed their sleep. We would hand over the keys of the girls who would be coming late in the night with instructions. And anybody who came into the ashram had been told to knock on their doors. So they were literally bombarded with knocks every few hours through the night, and they didn't have sleep for probably few days continuously. So that part was one team taking care of that. And they had other sisters, because we had last minute people coming in from buses on 21st morning. Some of them even came in on 21st afternoon. So we had a team right outside the mandir to register them, you know, with a makeshift registration counter and give them the badges. We also had team members who couldn't make it to Patti, but they were working remotely, always on the system, probably 20 hours on the system. So whenever we sent an inquiry from here, they would immediately work on it, coordinate, send messages. Some of them even remotely from wherever they were, they called people to make sure things were working smoothly for us in the ashram. So it was like our offshore service team.
Back office
service team. So it's been really wonderful working together as a team.
Wonderful. Clockwise precision.
One more thing, Karuna, I would like to say, like when we are allocating the rooms, none of the girls said, we can't stay in this room. We would like to have a better accommodation. No, this room is not good for us. Please give us something else. Each and everybody happily, without any, they just never said no to anything. Whatever, beforehand only we allocated the room, and as they were coming and we were giving the rooms, but none of them raised any, they were not at all unhappy with whatever we were giving. They were so happy. So this, you know, it touched my heart. I was so happy because before I was thinking, maybe the girls will not be satisfied with what we are giving them because beforehand only we are giving. So maybe they won't like. But, you know, if they are in Bhakti Nivas also, they are happily. And the arrangements were too good there, so no problem.
Also, one thing I would like to add, the after-sale service of the accommodation team I would want to mention here is that people whom we gave the accommodation, I saw other sisters of my team asking them, are you comfortable? Are you having any problem? Do you have water in your room? Do you have, is your mother doing well? So all that after giving the accommodation, also the registration team I saw was making efforts to ensure everyone is staying comfortably good. And Swami, as usual, is a very good host and we were absolutely comfortable here.
Truly. Well said. One of the things that I thought was really stunning was the decor. One aspect of the decoration was the rangoli. There were these elaborate, beautiful rangolis and we didn't even know these were coming up. So what was this rangoli team about? What can we know about it?
Sairam D, I'm Lalita from Coimbatore. I completed my graduation and post-graduation from Anantapur campus in the year 2006. And my heartfelt thanks to Bhagwan for giving me the opportunity to take part in this Golden Jubilee celebrations. Then when I came here, I didn't expect that I'll get a chance to be in the Rangoli team. And it also gave me the chance to interact with all my senior members. And on that day, we started at 2:45 a.m. in the morning. And
wow, that was an early start. And had you planned it beforehand?
Yes, we planned about it. And the current present students also bought the terracotta pots from the Anantapur campus. They made it even more beautiful, which was appreciated by everyone. And our great inspiration was Dr. Sri Vidya ma'am. She guided us and helped us in each and every part of the rangoli, which made it very beautiful. And I thank Bhagwan for giving me the opportunity. And it is a scintillating and wonderful experience to be remembered forever.
Uma, what can you tell us about it?
I just want to add to this. The Rangoli team has been working since 2 months.
Wow.
Trying to practice all the designs at their homes and trying to get the best out of it so that they don't have to spend. And they had just 2 hours to do. That is from 2:45 to 4:45. So they had to finish drawing the design and then
filling it
with the color powder and all that. So I think they have worked a lot, selected the designs, and they have spent a lot of time practicing it. So they do the perfect thing for Swami.
Thank you, K. Uma of Puttaparthi Security Duty. And Uma, the decor in the mandir was just a sight to behold, like heavenly sight. How did you all plan it? What was behind it?
Actually, Didi, I felt I'm like a host over here because I live here and I have been doing security duty since 24 years. And I felt it is a nice thing when there's a festive occasion in the family and all the sisters are coming home to their mother's house. So I felt I should do my best to see that everyone and Swami is also happy. So we spent a lot of time thinking about the decoration. Actually, Karuna Didi and me have worked together for the decor. And we've been spending a lot of time selecting the designs and talking to the decorator, and who happens to be Gayatri, who's alumnus of Anandpur College. And she has also done a lot of homework to do the best for our decoration. And we just wanted the theme to be yellow color, which is auspicious color, and it also goes with the Golden Jubilee celebrations of our institute. So we wanted all the girls to wear yellow color sari, and even Swami to be decked in yellow with yellow flowers.
Beautifully color coordinated.
And we wore the red sari in the evening, so Swami also had a tinge of red roses in the evening in the decoration.
So it's all matching.
Matching with Swami.
Yes, very nice.
And one more thing, what we thought is when a girl comes to their mother's house, they should go back with all the auspicious things which a mother gives. That is the sari, the bangles, which are very auspicious for the girls, the haldi kumkum package, and the dashara kumkum, which is very auspicious as it is procured from the dashara yagnam kumkum, which is given in the mandir, and the vibhuti, which usually Swami gives. So we added all these in the jute bags, which were eco-friendly bags, which were procured. So, and the saris had a line of Golden Jubilee celebrations on it.
Yeah, they were printed with the ATP Golden Jubilee. Mm-hmm. So it's such a memorable sari. No one can ever forget this moment. It's imprinted in the pallu.
So we wanted all the sisters to take back all these auspicious prasadams from their mother's home.
Very thoughtfully done. Very beautiful. And the saris are also yellow and peach, which is again the color theme of the Golden Jubilee.
Yes, yes. And even when we were going around distributing the cards, invitation cards to the elders, we got a lot of positive response from them, and they all encouraged us to go about with this function. And even my security sisters were working with me in the mandir. They worked a lot to arrange for the best seating arrangement in the mandir, so that whoever can't sit down, they were provided with the chairs, and the family members were taken care of. And even the children in the gen side, they were taken care of. So they have also worked a lot.
Lot of coordination.
Yeah, coordination.
Very large number. Actually, we were a very small hosting team here in Puttaparthi, but all the same, it was a joy to try and meet up to the expectations of everyone who was coming, because everyone came out of so much love and enthusiasm. Thank you, Uma. And we also had amazing food during these days, starting from the 20th dinner, and then all the meals on 21st, breakfast, lunch and dinner, then on 22nd, our wonderful breakfast. And on 22nd, we concluded the celebration with the grand meal at the Nitya Annadhanam canteen. So on behalf of our sister who coordinated this whole effort, Dr. Shakuntala of Tirupati, I'd like to share with all of you this information that the South Indian canteen went on a limb to prepare a special menu for us, which was served to us in the first floor of the South Indian canteen, and we had to coordinate and send our sisters in batches with people with small children and elderly going first, because their needs were greater. And so there was a smooth flow of human traffic going for their meals, which were delicious, and we kept the menu was prepared keeping in mind the favorite food items of our sisters from our days when we studied here, when Swami used to spoil us and treat us with so much of love. And on the final day, after finishing starting our dinner on 20th, we concluded with the breakfast on 22nd at the South Indian canteen. And we went for our lunch to the Nitya Annadhanam canteen, where they had made special decorations and a very special meal for the girls, because they wanted every girl to know that she had come to her mother's house, and she was leaving with this warmth of delicious nourishment as Swami's prasadam. So I think food was also quite heavenly, if I may say so. What about the band? We realized the girls came, did I miss someone? The girls came from all over the world to play in the band. Is there a person from the band team here?
Yes.
Please go ahead.
Om Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
I am Sunaina Marwa from Jamshedpur, and I have been very fortunate and blessed to have graduated from Shri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Anandpur campus, batch 2015. So it's been 3 years since I have seen the notes leave alone playing an instrument for Swami. And it was very overwhelming for all of us. Girls throughout the country had come. And I remember a sister who had flown down from Melbourne, Australia, just to be a part of the celebrations. And it was just a two-day practice session. And on the third day, we played for Swami, just like old times fanfare. We took him into procession from Yajur Mandir to the Kulwant Hall. And it was very overwhelming. Blessed to be a part of Golden Jubilee celebrations. And I hope to be here again for the 75th, 100th and so on celebrations.
Yes, we say amen to that. Thank you.
Sairam, I would like to add to what Sister Sunaina said.
Can you introduce yourself, Sister?
I am Sunandani Bangalorkar from Mumbai, a grateful alumna of the Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Anandpur campus, batch 2008 to 2015. Having been a student of Bhagwan for 19 years, this has been a wonderful, exquisite experience for me to be part of this Golden Jubilee celebration. It was truly a homecoming, and it felt like in every sense coming to a mother's home, or as we call it in Hindi, Maika. Since all my mothers reside in Parthi, my almighty mother, my biological mother and my academics mother. I speak on behalf of all the band sisters when I say that we never imagined, even in our wildest dreams, that after graduating from the campus we would actually hold our instruments that we fondly call our babies, not just to play but bring Baba again in the grand procession. I have to mention an incident that happened during the celebrations.
Please do.
In the past, we always had the most coveted opportunity to herald Bhagwan's entrance into the Kulwant Hall, as only the Anandpur band girls used to play the fanfare. And so we expected that we would probably have the same opportunity. But we were told that we were at the end of the procession, which most of us were slightly disappointed. Then our band leader, Manisha Thakuri sister, mentioned, "Don't worry, you never know Swami's ways." So can you imagine, on the D-Day, actually, a senior sister came and mentioned, "Band girls, please come forward." And we actually stood at the same spot that we did in the past for many, many years to herald the welcoming of Bhagwan. Thank you, Swami, for this wonderful opportunity. Sairam.
Sairam, that was wonderful. And we also had Nadaswaram, although I don't think there's anyone on the team here in the studio to represent them. But the sisters on the Nadaswaram team, they played the traditional Indian music, and they also had practice over WhatsApp and Skype the sessions and come prepared with to hold their instruments after a very long time. And they just created that magical ambience of a big thing happening in a holy place. Generally before weddings we have Nadaswaram to announce and herald the arrival of divinity and auspiciousness. So that was an integral part. The music, the sounds lend so much of beauty to that occasion. I want to thank our Nadaswaram sisters. And my personal favorite is always the Vedam, because it's only Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba who opened Vedam to all of us, to men, women, children of all faiths and cultural backgrounds and castes, because everything about the Satya Sai movement is all inclusive. And in Anantapur, we already have a strong Vedam team. Our alumni team was led by Sai Sudha Sasi Kumar. Sai Sudha, what can you tell us?
Sairam Karunadi.
Sairam.
I'm Sai Sudha Shashikumar from Mumbai. I graduated in the year 1987 from our own Anantapur campus, and I was fortunate to coordinate the Veda team. And I must say that we had sisters of all age groups in our team, right from 1968 batch to 2018 batch. And it was wonderful working with all these sisters, my seniors, and the children as old as my daughter, and even younger to my daughter. And in Vedam, I selected the girls who opted for Veda from the registration list. And then I made a WhatsApp group, and the girls who were interested in leading the Veda group, they sent the audio recording of the chants that we had listed out, and we were fortunate to be a part of the procession. So we had two teams of a procession team and the mic chanters. Though we had only 15 minutes in the morning and 10 minutes in the evening, the girls were so sincere that they had actually started practicing right from the time they were added to the WhatsApp group.
This is
right from, I think, 2 months they were practicing. They never thought that it's just 10 minutes and it's group chanting, let us all chant together, doesn't matter. Nothing like that. And everybody practiced, and here also we had 2 days practice, almost the full day. And I must thank Sister Chandini, who in spite of not being in Parthi in person, she helped me to get the double-decker shed whenever I needed the shed for the practice. And this is absolute teamwork what we saw here during GJC. And this was like selfless service, love in action, which led to the perfection of the whole event. And I was fortunate to be a part of the music group, got a chance to sing bhajan. I must mention that the music group also practiced a lot. 2 days, whole days they were practicing. They never came for darshan. Led by Arunima, and her team did a wonderful work here. And I must say that now, after all this, I have just started doing security duty. And anybody who comes through that gate tells me that the program was very good, the music was very good. So I feel the whole event was so wonderful that Swami is actually happy with all of us, and he has blessed all his daughters.
Yes, so nice to hear that. I think the sincerity of everyone came through the fact that people were willing to practice. The music girls have been practicing over Skype for the last 2 months, and all were willing to have their songs chopped off in case, because till the very last minute, due to some number of different circumstances, we were not sure of the flow of the program. We only gave it to the mandir on the 20th because a lot of things could have happened. So we had to be prepared for any exigency to rejig the entire flow of program. And therefore, we ourselves did not know what it was going to be till about 24 hours prior, as a confirmed. So the music girls were so open to the idea that in case there is a change in the flow of the program and the scheduling, I think the leader, Arunima Pant, said the first song she would chop up would be hers. So that is, I think, true leadership. You wanted to add
giving some? An example of true leadership for the Veda team. I would like to mention that from the past 2 months since the WhatsApp group was created, we started sending our audios, and you would not believe, for each and every audio we used to get, you know, feedback regarding each and every line that we chanted. And the level of patience that our leaders had shown in that Vedam group was so beautiful, so excellent, that we actually wanted to reach perfection. Until the last day, the only thing they used to tell us is, be perfect as we are performing for Swami. So, leadership in true sense, yeah.
I guess Swami's daughters just rock. That's all I can say. After listening to all of you, it is so beautiful. And I would just like to hear from some of our sisters about their individual experience. But in the meanwhile, if I may just add, there was such a country-wide cohesion and cooperation, because we were working in so many different remote teams. Our sisters in Bangalore, they took over the entire duty of packaging the prasadam for the evening in those boxes with the Golden Jubilee logo on them, with individually wrapped savory snack and a sweet snack and Swami's picture and Vibhuti packet. And they came in teams. Bangalore is a big city with a lot of driving distances to capture, but they managed everything, and they did it together with Swami's bhajan, Swami's names, and they packed it because they were doing it for Bhagwan. And our sisters in Chennai also took upon themselves to personally string the beads for a Japmala sort of bracelet for our current students, because whatever we were enjoying, we wanted to make sure our younger sisters who are current students also benefit from the same. So since we, the alumni, decided to gift ourselves from Swami these japmalas so that we can intensify our japa, we thought our younger sisters might like something more in line with today's trend. So we got them these bracelets, but they were not just funky, fashionable fashion accessories. Our sisters in Chennai were taking Swami's name and stringing it for them so that they would wear a powerful little talisman on their wrist as they went about and they would remember to take his name. So much of thought that went into it. Nirmala?
Yeah, Karuna, I just want to add that we were thinking what to give the sisters, and one of the sisters shared her dream where Swami had given her a japamala, and that sort of crystallized in our mind that maybe this is what Swami wants all the daughters to have. So that is the reason why we decided to finalize the japamalas.
Actually, all little details Swami seemed to have communicated to us somehow or the other through inner promptings and clear visions, and everything that flowed in that program, which was like a huge festival of overwhelming gratitude, was so well synchronized in the end. You knew that it was the hand of God that was playing. We could not have pulled it off ourselves. Padma Ramdas, you came all the way from Australia. How was your experience of participating in the Anantapur Golden Jubilee?
Sai Ram Karuna. I'm an alumna from the Anantapur campus 1988 batch. The Golden Jubilee was a beautiful reunion for us, both with Swami and with all the other sisters. Even leading up to the event, Swami made it really easy for me. The tickets were the cheapest it's been in the last 28 years. I was so amazed. He really wanted me to come. And also at work, my boss wouldn't give me leave, would only give me from the 23rd of July, and I was in a real, I had already booked the tickets and I was registered and I didn't know what to do, and my colleagues from work said they would do my shift so I could go. So that was just, I was so amazed by how Swami's Leela's work, and I was not very well at that time as well, and everything vanished as soon as I got here. During the 2 days of the program, I felt Swami's presence so strongly. I had tears of joy after, like, every person gave their speech, and after every bhajan, I was just like crying like a child. It was a great homecoming, and I really like expected Swami to be sitting in the chair or just going to walk in. I was always like, oh, Swami's going to be here. I just had that feeling all the time. I'm so thankful to Swami for making this amazing event possible and bringing us all back home.
Thank you, Padma. Shaila Sood from New Delhi. She is one of the wrap-up team members who are helping us to make sure we wrap up this big Pandora's box that we opened to celebrate the GJC. Shaila, your thoughts?
Sai Ram Karuna Didi.
Sai Ram.
The hallmark of our students is sacrifice and dedication. And this is what I learned in college. And when in college, we shared a beautiful bond of selfless love, understanding, and a drive to serve. And as expected, even after 30 years, it was so gladdening to see that when we met our friends, we shared the same bond. And the high point was when I heard my sisters talk about how they were serving in society. The sisters who spoke that they were doing things with the same dedication as I was doing my work at home. So there was that connection, you know, that we share Swami's ideals, and the day is not far when we would be heading towards a more beautiful world.
Thank you, Shaila.
Just adding on to what Sister Shaila just now said, actually when we were shortlisting our Veda chants, we selected the one which is Nakarmana Na Prajaya. This is Swami's one of the favorite chants, and he has spoken about this in Swami's discourses. And you know, I think this is about sacrifice, and I think it is a coincidence, which we call a coincidence, that after we came here, we got to know that there is so much of sacrifice done by so many of our sisters involved in so many teams, that, you know, I don't know, it made Bhagwan made us list this Nakarmana for the chant, and I think it was apt for the occasion.
Thank you. Go ahead, please.
Sai Ram Karuna Didi.
Sai Ram.
I'm Pooja Sahani from Hyderabad, a very blessed alumna from Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Anantapur Campus, batch of BCom 94-97. As I begin, I just want to share one thing, that during one of the PC sessions, the Purnachandra sessions, when you had asked some of us to share the way we felt after attending the Golden Jubilee celebrations, I was really keen to come and speak about it, but because of lack of time, we couldn't have that opportunity. And I really feel that Bhagwan has blessed me with that opportunity today. So one thing that I wanted to share was that as I reflect on the Golden Jubilee celebrations, it brings one very strong memory to my mind.
Mm-hmm.
When I had joined the Anantapur campus in 1994, prior to that, at some point of time, my father had shown my horoscope to an astrologer. And that astrologer, looking at my horoscope, had said that the years from mid of 90s to the next few years, like from 95 to 97, would be the golden period of my life. I did not understand the truth of this statement at that point of time. And this statement did keep coming back to me over the years. But when I was a part of Golden Jubilee celebrations, this statement came to me very, very strongly, that it is the Golden Jubilee celebrations, and the days in Anantapur were definitely the golden period and the golden days of my life. There is no two thoughts on that.
It.
Yes. And Bhagwan has very graciously blessed me to be a part of the Sai family, where I've been married into a Sai family. I have been involved in the organization through Balvikas. But however, being part of the Golden Jubilee celebrations brought this many fond memories that we have had with our sisters, with our peers, with our respected teachers, and above all, our beloved Bhagwan. For me personally, when I think of Golden Jubilee celebrations, the one thing that I want to thank Swami from the bottom of my heart is to give me a chance to be a part of the procession on the morning of the Golden Jubilee celebrations. The day before that, prior to the my final main day, I had been to the Vedam chanting team, you know, just to see how they were doing and if I could be a part of that. However, I was not too prepared for it, but I just wanted to go and be there and get the good vibrations from the place and what the sisters were chanting. And when Sudha Didi was shortlisting the sisters for the procession, a thought just crossed my mind that, Swami, how nice it is to be a part of your procession. And I don't know if I would ever have that opportunity. And Bhagwan is so gracious. In the evening, my name was picked to be a part of the procession, holding the Deepam in hand.
Oh, so auspicious. Very auspicious.
Absolutely. And just the next day, one of my classmates was asking me, so Pooja, how was it holding the Deepam in your hand? I said, when I know that any opportunity that Swami gives, there is a message behind it. We just have to reflect on it. And as I reflected upon that, why did he choose me to carry the Deepam? Two thoughts came to my mind. One is a very sweet anecdote that I have read, which says that the sun asked, who will help me spread my shine everywhere? And a little lamp replied, I will do my best.
Mm-hmm.
So Bhagwan is this beautiful shining sun, and we all are his little lamps. Wherever we are, in whichever way we can, we have to just shine his rays to everybody. That was one thought. And another thought that came to my mind is that for over and over a decade now I have been into Balvikas, and I'm also blessed that I'm going to be attending the Guru Purnima celebrations also tomorrow. And when I think of the lamp part, you know, what thought came to my mind was that just as the Guru is the dispeller of the darkness of ignorance by shining the light of wisdom, he gave me that lamp only to reaffirm and to reassure that you are a guru and you have to do the same for everyone and for your own self. Remove all the darkness and let that shine within, the light within shine in its brightest glory. So these were the two beautiful, reflections that I got through from Golden Jubilee celebrations. And apart from that, on a personal level, like some of our sisters shared over here, it really gave rise to this overwhelming love that we all have for Bhagwan, which I felt through the group songs, through the documentary that was shown. Everything just brought forth that hidden currents of love that we all have for him, and that Bhagwan is the center of our lives. And
go on, Pooja.
Yeah. And another thing, it was when I came to Parthi, I was able to come 2-3 days before the celebration started. So I went visiting various teams, the work that they were doing, the packing of the bangles, the kumkum, packing of the saris, also the music program, the Vedam program. And the one thing that I saw that commonly was there, that everybody was just so inspired to only please Swami. That was the only thing that everybody had in their hearts, that we have to please Swami, and that is the most important thing for all of us. And apart from that, it was very nice to witness the sincerity of all the teams that were a part of the celebration, who worked for the food, the accommodation, the flower decoration and everything. And and just one last thing I would like to mention was that it was also very, very heartwarming to received the message from Dr. Rajeshwari Patel, ma'am, who is the director of our campus currently. The conviction that that ma'am had in what she spoke to us was something that really inspired me, and I hope it did the same for all the other girls. So I thank ma'am. I could not do that during the celebration time, but if ma'am is listening, we are very, very grateful for her words. And in the end, I would just say that Bhagwan should give us more and more opportunities to come together at his lotus feet, and maybe strive more and more to be dedicated to him and to become his true daughters, his true reflections. Thank you, Didi. Saira.
Thank you, Pooja. And some of our sisters who are not here worked very hard to bring out two very impressive books that were released on this occasion. Miss Lakshmi Menon was the editor of a souvenir book which was called The Indweller. And this was released by the Chancellor of the Satyasai Institute of Higher Learning, Sri K. Chakravarti, on the evening of 21st. And it contains many articles contributed by the alumni. And I believe a second volume is also in the works. The first volume has been released on this auspicious occasion. And in the morning, members of the Trust, Sri Prasad Rao, sir, and Vice Chancellor, sir, Professor Verma, together released a book, which is a coffee table book. And this one has been compiled by Ms. Darya Preeta, who is a journalist with the Hindu Group of Newspapers in Coimbatore. And this coffee table book chronicles Bhagwan's speeches and pictures of his visit and connection with the Anandpur campus. So his daughters just made sure that everything associated with the history of 50 years of Anandpur was covered, either pictorially or in words or in songs or in speeches or in Veda chanting or the band playing or the Nadaswaram, the many, many, many wonderful opportunities that this campus has given us. At this point in time, is there anybody else? Sorry, I missed out. Yes, please go ahead, Sanjana.
Om Shri Sairam.
Sairam, Sanjana.
Sairam Karuna, ma'am. I am Sanjana Marwa from Jamshedpur, batch of 2013-17, and I finished my MSc and BEd from the Anandpur campus. As I sit here and see all the other sisters speaking, they've covered almost all the points which I wanted to speak. So I just want to just add on some last points. I was thinking since past few days that my contribution for the Golden Jubilee has almost been negligible.
in terms of maybe being a part of band or Veda or music or accommodation team. So I was just thinking, like, I have been a part of these celebrations but not so actively involved. So last night when the message was circulated in the WhatsApp group that we have to come to Radio Sai, some of the sisters who are present in Parthi, and they can, you know, reflect on what they've gone through all these days. I mean, the blessings which they've been poured on. So I thought this is my only opportunity to say thank you to our Lord, as I have not been so actively involved. I have not done a major chunk for the Golden Jubilee. This is my only opportunity to thank Swami that He has allowed me to be a part of this Golden Jubilee celebration, which doesn't happen every day or every year. It's just once in a lifetime opportunity. And I'm so thankful to Swami the way the sisters have, you know, taken us during the registration, the smiles on their faces, and from the registration booth till the canteens where we were served sumptuous lunch, dinner, all the meals, the 7-course meals, I got reminded of our summer course days. And from there, wearing the gold medal on our necks, and those sisters who've even been adorned with a gold medal when they were a part of the Anandpur campus, they could never wear it and move around the ashram, but this was an opportunity for all the 2,000 sisters
very proudly
to wear that gold medal and move. And the saris, the gifts, the N number of gifts which Swami keeps on giving us, when I sit in the Kulwant Hall and receive the gifts in my hand, I just think Swami never takes anything from us. If He takes, He just takes our negative qualities and just keeps on giving us time and again, be it the valedictory, the sports meet function, or any of the celebrations which we sit and receive the prasadams and the gifts in the Kulwant Hall. I'm so thankful, so grateful to our benevolent Lord that He's allowed me to be a part of this celebration, and I just hope that I can be a part of the forthcoming celebrations as well. Sai Ram, ma'am.
Sai Ram, Sanjana, and thank you for that. Sai Sudha, very quickly, please.
Yeah, just to speak about the gold medal, I think Swami has blessed our parents also, who enrolled us to Anandpur campus. This time they also got an opportunity to wear the gold medal.
Karuna, I just want to say a word about all those alumni who were there all over the world, who couldn't make it personally to Parthi but participated through Radio Sai's live broadcasts and Facebook streams. I think they also shared their messages saying that just watching the whole thing, they felt being part of this whole homecoming.
Thank you. And as I'm running out of time, I'm very quickly going to go through the enormous amount of feedback I've received on my Facebook page. I asked people to, my sisters and devotees, to just pick up their 5 or fewer words that come to mind when they think of the recent celebrations. Padma Shri Radha Swami says, bliss, bonding, sisterhood, deja vu and memorable. Urbashi Chatterjee, golden bond, love, Mother Sai, messengers, truth. Yuri Hira, my favorite, love, Sai mission, girl power. The program was wonderful. Thank you, Yuri. It's nice to hear from a young person, and girl power, one of my favorite words. Snigdha Chatterjee says, unconditional love, bonding, gratitude, nostalgia. Shalini Krishnan, gratitude, tears, love, blessed awe. Ramamani says, nostalgic, unconditional love for Swami, memorable, gratitude. Lakshmi Menon says, hashtag love, 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 love. Jayalakshmi Ganesh says, ever grateful, unbelievable, immeasurable, heavenly, unexplainable, inexplicable, I guess. Ekta says, selfless love, nostalgia, homecoming, pure bliss, lifetime opportunity. Sai Leela Swaminathan, beautified, hallowed, gratitude, blessings of teachers, bonding with soul sisters. Jayalakshmi Ganesh says, ever grateful. I think I read this one. Sarita Bala Rajendra says, gratitude, women, power, memories, tears, sisterhood. Sapna Chauhan, homecoming, love, ecstasy. Smita Niranjan says, Swami wanting us at home. Sai Lata Murali, immeasurable love, reunion, lovable family, memories for life, hope. Sunita Vaidya says, glory of educational mission, gratitude, love. Pramodini Reddy says, love of thousand mothers can only bring us all together and keep us together. Isha Narayanan Batra says, Sushila Gautam Batra? I don't know what she said, but I missed that one. Vandana Nage says, Sai love, memories, bliss, sisterhood and gratitude. Priya Gopalakrishnan says, gratitude, heart-to-heart relationship, oneness, proud daughters and happy being at mother's home. Well said, Priya. Sai Bhargavi says, Sai student, love, home, peace and joy. Prashanti Budiga says, happiness, excitement, excitement, nostalgia, love, love and love, reunion in divine presence. Asha Malhotra, love, gratitude, reunion and memorable moments. Srividya Ramesh, unconditional love, gratitude, lifetime opportunity, grace, bliss, heavenly. Sri Ranjani Rajesh says, home, love, sisters, gratitude, excitement. Vidyulata Narayan says, Swami is the doer, loving homecoming, joy, thankfulness and smiles. Sojanya Pudi, gratitude, peace, reconnect, rejuvenate, recharge. Aparna Pandit, sweet memories, gratitude, true love, sense of belonging, ultimate destination. Shiraz Daruwala, homecoming, happiness, rebonding, divine family, grace, blessings, memories, love of Mother Sai. Savita Chauhan, unconditional love, gratitude, friendship, pure love, loving memories. Sarvani Macharla says, love, 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 love and love. And Sai Iyer says, darshan during college days, Swami gliding, unconditional love, sweet memories, tears, gratitude. And I'm sure there are many more, and I will try to catch up with those at a later time. So you can see all the adjectives speak to the highest, purest of human aspirations and emotions. What a recharge the alumni has received, and how much grace Swami has poured on each one of us and our families by giving us this opportunity to be part of this historic landmark milestone moment, the half a century completion of a successful educational mission. For all that Swami has done for us, I hope we will prove to be humble enough, sincere enough, pure enough, and grateful enough to be called his daughters. On behalf of the global alumni of the Anandpur campus, I want to thank our beloved divine founding chancellor, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. I want to thank Radio Sai. I want to thank the Satya Sai University and its leadership. I want to thank the ashram and all the elders who have, and all the various canteens, everyone who helped us to achieve this beautiful celebration. And on that celebratory note, I'm happy to play for you now the Tris with Divinity interview. And this one is an exclusive. And you have to give me a minute because my eyes... With Ms. Nityashri Mahadevan, the celebrated Carnatic vocalist, and she's in conversation with Mrs. Sumitra Krishnan, a Sai Bhajan singer from Chennai and an active participant of the activities of the Sri Satya Sai Seva Organization of Chennai Metro West. Over now to this interview, Tris with Divinity, with Nityashri Mahadevan in conversation with Sumitra Krishnan. Have a listen, please, and please enjoy the rest of the show. And as always, I will be looking forward to your feedback to this episode of Morning Glory. You can reach us at listener@radiosai.org. Thank you for your company and have a saisome awesome day ahead. Jai Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, Nityashri Mahadevan.
Sai Ram.
Welcome to Radio Sai.
Thank you so much. I consider it a great privilege to be here.
Your paternal grandmother, Srimati D.K. Pattammal, and your maternal grandfather, Sri Palakkad Mani Iyer, are considered as legends of Carnatic music. Could you please share with us as to how this background really groomed you in music, spirituality and life altogether?
If you ask me what is the greatest happening in my life, I would say the greatest blessing that Swami has blessed on me is to be born in such a illuminous family from both the sides. As you said, my paternal grandmother, Gana Saraswati, the towering figure of Carnatic music, Srimati D.K. Pattammal. And on the other side, on my mother's side, the one and only Mridanga Maestro. He is actually acclaimed Kali Yuga Nandi, Palakkad Mani Iyer. So, like, that itself is a great blessing to be born to pillars of the field, evergreen. The music that they have created is immortal, so they are ever living in the hearts of listeners. And as a child, though I never realized how great they were, I used to admire them, and it used to give me lot of pride, you know, seeing them being celebrated musicians. And for me, I was a very shy and timid girl, always behind my mother's pallu, sari, and my house used to be filled with music always. So basically, I breathed music, I should say, because even the normal conversations used to be revolving around music. And visitors used to talk about music. The outing mainly was concerts and awards of my grandparents. Sishyas used to come home and learn music and everything. But one thing about my household, they never forced music upon us, the children. I was very naturally drawn towards music. I think that is very important. Even today, parents try to, you know, thrust their ideas, push the children. That should not happen. It should be a natural thing. So, and when people used to visit my grandmother, they would just pinch my cheek and ask me, will you sing? Can you sing a song for us now? And when I sang, they used to cheer me. And I say, oh, nice voice, she sings well. So that's how my parents or anyone spotted that there's something in me that can be groomed. So thanks to my amma, Srimati Lalita Shivakumar, because Pati was quite old and also very busy at that time. Amma used to explain to me what hard work, commitment, sacrifice my grandmother and grandfather had put to reach this stage. So she said, you have to learn this art for the sake of art, not for anything else. Other things will follow. But first, for you, the art itself should be your main goal. Mm. So the spirituality started with my music training, with this fact. Though I couldn't understand, I knew I should learn the art with the total love for it and give my life and soul to it. And I have watched my grandmother, though my grandfather passed away when I was just 6 or 7 years old, I've watched my grandmother so closely. This is an intriguing question if you ask me how great my grandmother was a musician. Or was she a greater human being? See, she is one of the greatest Carnatic music exponents, all of you know. And I also, I mean, she's my guru, most revered person in my life. But as a human being also, she shone like, the Dhruva Nakshatra. Mm. So her simplicity, and always smiling faced, very positive in everything, the contentment and the simple life that she led, everything, I learned so many things subconsciously. Only now I realize those things are also great. It never went to her head that she has achieved so much. I've never seen her telling, oh, I sang this so well, etc., etc. I've never seen her utter a small word about it, or she has never fussed before a concert. Even when she had a concert at 6 o'clock, we used to go and disturb her in the afternoon when she was taking a nap and force her to tell a story, etc. And she is always like a normal household grandmother, being very kind and affectionate to us. And she would tell, even till the last minute, she would even wash the vessels, do everything like a normal person. But when she went to the stage, that's where she became Saraswati. So, the simplicity, she was a personification of simplicity, I should say. And from my grandfather, if you ask, he didn't know anything else other than mridangam. For him, mridangam, mridangam, mridangam. He didn't even know Even to do a normal thing like opening a bottle or anything, even that was a big thing for him. But he created history in the playing of mridangam. And he was interested only in that. Like a tapas, he was treating mridangam. Even when he went to USA on a concert tour, and when the Rasikas and his students took him to Niagara Falls, he went till the gate of that Niagara Falls, but he never entered it because he said, is it just waterfalls, waterfalling? That's fine. Actually, now I'm engrossed in something else. I'm doing some korvai or something. So don't disturb me. It's okay. I don't want to see. So he was not interested in anything else. So once when Tata had met Periva and asked him that his mind doesn't, you know, allow him to go into rituals, the daily rituals, puja practices, meditation, etc., etc., Mahaperiva just said, you're doing that through your mridangam. That's sufficient. So I have seen both my grandparents, the music, the extraordinary anugraham from Saraswati Kataksham, the music as well as the spirituality in them, which made them great. So that's what I learned, trying to at least imbibe that and following it 1% in my life.
Okay. You mentioned about the Kanchi Mahaperiva. Can you please tell us how spiritual masters influenced you?
Actually, I always feel Bharat Bhumi is a Punya Bhumi. It is a spiritually very rich land. Because of the presence of lot of divine temples, oceans, rivers, mountains, epics and Puranas, and more so now, the saintly figures who have bridged the gap between the Almighty and the human beings. The spiritual masters have played a great role in India to preserve the sanctity and sacredness here. And these spiritual masters are not ordinary janmas. Ordinary births. They are blessed people. They have a reserve of punya. They have done lot of penance and acquired lot of powers, divine powers. That's why they come into this universe with a mission, with the goal of elevating the mankind. So I have utmost respect for these spiritual masters. And when we musicians sing on stage, the hymns, those are all the outpour of bhakti from such masters. From Alvar Nayanmars, Arunagirinadhar, or Narayana Tirtha, or Mumurthigal, Tyagaraja Swami, Sadashiva Brahmendra, etc., etc. So, we have not seen them, but if a song can stand the test for maintaining the originality of the verse and the tune for more than 500, 600 years, then you can say it is, you know, it's not possible when it could not be recorded in any form, but still they say Karna Parampara, that's why it's called classical music. Something which stands the test of time is called classic. So, these spiritual masters have, you know, the culture what is prevailing today is their contribution.
Sure.
So when we take someone as our guru, we feel the guru is the one who holds our hands and lead us into the spiritual path. And my grandmother always used to say, when she was just few months old, her parents took her to Ramana Maharishi, who poured a drop of honey in her tongue. And that's what had made her sing. So she always used to utter these words with humility. And she grew up in Kanchipuram, singing in front of Mahaperiva and the Periva before Mahaperiva also.
Okay.
So, whenever I read the words of Mahapiriva, Ramana Maharishi, and saints like that. You know, it gives us lot of inner strength, confidence and courage, peace, what more. So I think we are really privileged to be born in this country for this simple fact that spiritually we are the richest.
Absolutely.
There are lot of routes to God. So you can say these are all not required when we have so many other paths. But there are, this is the safest route, holding the hands of our Guru and listening to them. So that safety and security, that we can be rest assured that we are on the right path. So Tyagaraja says, Guru leka etuvanti guriki. Sadguru. So these spiritual masters are great anugraham to us.
You just talked about the spiritual masters being very influential, no?
Mm-hmm.
Please share with us how Swami came into your life.
I actually don't know the answer to it. When actually I came to know about Swami, because right from childhood, we have grown with Swami's pictures, Swami's words. About Swami, I was like aware of Swami. There's not one particular incident which changed me and led me into Swami. I always used to hold Swami in the highest respect. And when I was like 20 or 22, there was a strong urge in me to have a darshan of Swami. And I used to listen to all the stories about Swami through his devotees and hardcore devotees who used to visit him very often. And his leelas, his miracles, and used to be very fascinated, but never got an opportunity to have even a glimpse of him. So I was like very, very keen on having a darshan of Swami. And After I was a bit well known in the music circles also, whenever I got an opportunity, somehow it didn't materialize for me to go to Puttaparthi and sing before Swami. It was only in 99 that I got an opportunity to sing before Swami. And that was the first time that I saw Swami in person. And so that was like I traveled around 18 hours from somewhere just to sing there. And I was in a different world when I first breathed the air when Swami was there. So I was literally out of the world, you know, in ecstasy. Of course, all of us know, you know, Swami is beyond rupam and form and all that, but still, you know, God in motion, and to have a darshan in this small, with this small maturity, I still can't forget that memorable moment. So I hold that very close to my heart. And Swami only told me that she has been waiting for this moment. So whoever was organizing it came and told me, Swami says you are waiting for this moment. So I was like taken aback only because Anantakoti followers he has. But still, if he has a place for me, so each and every bhakta feels the same.
Yeah.
No, this is not mine alone. Not that, oh, Swami likes me very much. Every bhakta has the same feeling. So that's when I was really very, very, I was looking forward singing before Swami, and Swami started occupying my heart and mind and everything. I actually, how Swami has influenced my life, I can't say I have read all his books. I can talk about what he has done, his organization, anything, his history. No, I will admit I don't know anything. But Swami has been a friend, is my friend. So that's it. I can, though I meet, even when Swami was in his human form, I never went very, very frequently to him. But still, somehow I could share anything with Swami. Every morning, if I had anything to say, I could communicate to Swami. So that was, I think that is the greatest thing, Swami, that protection, that assurance that Swami is there makes me very light. I don't have any burdens. I just move on.
That's a great feeling, you know.
Greatest feeling. And any devotee would accept that.
You are right. Devotees have their very personal connect with Swami and have memorable experiences with Him. You have also had such blessed experiences.
Even the slightest nod, a blink from Swami is so special to all of us. So it's my rare, greatest privilege to share with utmost humility whatever small experiences I've had with Swami. Once after a kacheri, Swami called me and he spoke something and materialized vibhuti and gave me. And after I came back, everybody asked what Swami said, but I didn't remember anything. It made me cry so much that I totally didn't remember what he said. Nothing, I couldn't remember anything. I only knew he started with something in Telugu. And after that, I don't know. Even now, I feel bad that I didn't remember. So next time, once I went there for Varalakshmi Nonba special program, so Swami asked me, Telugu Telusa. And said, Swami, I know a bit of Telugu, but even my mother tongue Tamil I forget before you. Please converse in some language which I know so that I can also remember it. Then he just gave a beautiful smile. He said he understood what I said. And then he said, no, you know everything. Don't worry. And so that was, once he said, can you sing a Meera Bhajan? And I was, like, it was out of the world. Swami asking me to sing something and I sang a Meera Bhajan, Ram Ratna Dhanapayo. I can't forget that piece. Payo ji mene Ram Ratan Dhan Payo Vast Amolika Vast Amolika Di mere Sat Guru Kirpa Kar Apnayo Payo ji mene Ram Ratan Dhan Payo. So that was the bhajan that I sang, and he called me after I completed, and he was having something closed in his palms, and he asked me to open my hands, and he put it, he said, you know what, this is Ram Ratan. And I cried, I just fell at his feet, and that was when he said, are you staying back? I was actually carrying my second child at that time. So I was preparing to go before that was the concert was in the morning. Evening, I wanted to take the flight back. He said, "Are you going today? Do you want to go back in the evening?" I was like, I didn't know what to answer. I said, "Swami, whatever you say, I will listen to it." "Okay, then you come tomorrow."
Okay.
So then I stayed back that day. The next day, I waited, and then Swami called my entire family. I had gone with my husband, mother-in-law, and father-in-law. So he took all four of us inside, and Swami was talking to me like as if I was his granddaughter or daughter, and we were feeling, "Ayyo, what is this?" Speechless. I was just gazing at Swami. Swami gave me a mala, a Navratna mala, and he's telling, "Jadai eduthu podu, jadai eduthu podu," sikkikkiradhu, meaning your plate is getting entangled into the mala. So take it out. I was didn't know how to react. He was talking as if like he's our family member telling, "Take out your plate." That is Swami. You know, we are all his children. Nobody, for him, everybody is same. Swami treats all of us like his children. And all the words. He said, I had my first child after 8 years. So Swami said, "I will take care of this child. Your first child also, take my blessings to her. She will be very fine. And this child, I will take care." Then when I cried, he said, "Neppu ostundi. You'll get pain, so don't cry." So, unforgettable. I should not ask for anything more. That's what I thought. After those few minutes with Swami, what I thought, I should not expect anything more. Swami has given this special darshan and gift to me. I don't want anything else. My mind was filled with that much happiness. So that's how I felt. And that is those moments I always cherish and bring back. Whenever I have something sad or anything, I bring back those moments and tell to myself, "Did I think I should not ask for anything more?" And now I should not think about anything more. And also Swami's assurance that he'll take care. So that if we bring that to our mind, then nothing else would matter, no? So Swami has given me those things. And few other certain things I can never forget. Swami's words in person, his actions. Last time in 2010 when I went there for his birthday celebrations, he asked me to stay 2 more days and witness the celebrations. And asked his disciples to feed me well. He said, "She is not eating well." I felt so little. And the disciples used to come and ask me, "Swami's instructions that you should be fed well." I am very privileged, isn't it? Blessed.
He's a true mother, you know.
He told me this. He said, "This is your home. And this is your mother's home. So you should come here." And Swami's karuna is unparalleled. You can't, unequaled. In one of the concerts, the concert was scheduled for 1.5 hours or something. 45 minutes Swami called me. And he was silent for a few seconds with a smile, a different smile. Like a requesting smile. I was wondering why Swami is not talking. He was hesitating to say something. I was waiting. Slowly he said, "Young children, papam, they've been waiting for 3 hours. I didn't understand. So he said, the school children, his in Prashanthi Nilayam, those children were all decked up for some dance program and other things. So due to some delay, my program also got delayed. So he was requesting me to stop the concert within 45 minutes. He could have as well said enough. But he called me and he said, Papam, for the past 1.5 hours, they've been waiting. Young children, is it okay? Then I said, Swami, just one more piece. I just have one bhajan to dedicate to you. So, just one bhajan. No, 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 please. You sing. Chala manchi voice, manchi singing. I like it. Then I said, no, I will conclude with just one bhajan and went. I was, even a normal organizer would say, enough, madam, you can conclude in another 2 minutes. But Swami, that is Swami, nothing else.
He didn't want to
upset me.
No? So, something really fantastic. Only Swami could do that.
Millions and millions of bhaktas he has. No? We should, one ray we should learn from all this. One kirana from Aditya, from sun, you know. Even that ray can we should at least try to follow that.
In Swami's every action, you know, you have so many things to learn and imbibe in your life, you know. Something really fantastic. So, how have all these learnings helped you in your personal and professional life?
This is a very nice question. We read a lot, we listen to a lot, and we come to know great thoughts and principles and teachings, everything. But putting it into practice is where lies the key to whatever success or salvation or mukti or moksha, whatever. That gap should be minimized as much as possible. That is one of my goals. Lot of Swami's teachings and principles, his thoughts. There are lot of books now, ocean of books available. And usually I have a daily diary from Prashanthi Nilayam. So everyday thought I just read and try to, keep it in mind. And also thoughts from saints and thinkers and philosophers. I studied in RKM Sharda Vidyalaya. So even Vivekananda's speeches have motivated me a lot. Arise, awake, stop not till the goal is reached. Difficulties come, but they pass away like water under a river. This is also same with happiness. Happiness also is like, you know, water under a river. Difficulties also water under a river. You should not give importance to both success and failure. You know, summer and winter, shadow and sun, light and darkness, we need both. What if we don't have a night? If it's bright or always, then we will become tired. Everything is needed. Darkness is needed, dawn is needed. So, sweet is needed, spicy needed in life. Everything cold, hot. So, accepting both equally. It's very, very, very difficult, but we have to at least be aware of it and try to follow it. Day-to-day life, everybody will have to face this. Sure. In our Janma, this is very common. So that Vivekam we should have will give us the strength to overcome anything. The balance, optimum balance of everything. In my professional life, if you ask me, I am a very contented person. I am very, very happy with whatever God has blessed me in my career as a musician. Has blessed me with music, which I think I owe to my guru, my family, my grandmother, my grandfather, what I have learned from masters of music, and the grace of Swami and Saraswati. Almighty has blessed me. My part in it is very minimum. I definitely would place whatever has come on my way at their lotus feet, my gurus and the Almighty. So whatever it is, if it is a very good comment, also I say, thank you, Swami, this is yours. If it is a otherwise remark also, it goes to him. So I am very light. I'm an instrument in his hands, and I enjoy being that instrument, singing. But certain principles I would like to follow in my profession. Things like commitment. In music, actually, when we give a date, 2 or 3 months prior, and it might be a very a simple concert or a simple recording or whatever. The same day, we might get a very high-profile, more lucrative, more remunerative concert. But it's not ethics to cancel that and shift the date. This has been instructed by my grandmother and grandfather that this is most important. And fulfilling the commitment, you have to be there half an hour before at the venue, not creating any problem to the organizer. Fulfilling the words is very important. And whatever health, personal issues, maximum the number of concerts that I have cancelled due to unavoidable circumstances is very minimum. I generally don't like to do it at all. So these are things that I like to practice. And this ego as a musician, if we keep it aside and sing for the sake of music, enjoying being a musician, the happiness is very, very, it is multifold. It's more. That's what I feel. Yeah, Rasikas, very important interaction with Rasikas, the rapport with the Rasikas. It's only the music which bridges the gap. Otherwise, Nityashree is no one, and the Rasikas who come to the concert, the music is going to bridge both of us. And the Nadha Anubhavam, the Nadam is ultimate, divine. So that's the beauty, and we have to realize that and follow it. And in also in my personal life, I love Swami's teaching. He used to say, God has given you eyes to see nice things, has given you this nose to smell nice things, to hear good things he has given you ears, and tongue to sing the praise of God and utter his nama or speak good things. Everything, even the hridayam, think good things. Keep the mind and heart clean. Only in a clean place we would like to go. Same way, Swami also likes to dwell in the hearts of clean people, clean minds. Nirmala Hridaya Nivasa. So, your mind should be void of bad thoughts. So, these thoughts I always, when something disturbing comes, oh no, I think you should not waste this Janma by doing this. So, if we are aware of such things, it helps us. And distress, as I told you before, distress and disturbances and sad things are all like a skin to a banana. It protects the banana's quality, life and taste, and increases the sweetness of the fruit. So, okay, sometimes we should not be calculating and directing our life. We should do our duty and leave the rest to God. That is the best principle Swami has taught us. Self-analysis is also very important in everything. Even professionally, after a concert, people might say, oh, very good. But that self-assessment is very important. So I just think about a concert which needs improvement, where I went wrong, what I have to improve. When 750 people have come to witness and listen to my concert, if I have some flaws, I have to rectify it. So keep constantly working on it. But later, I can only do my best. The result is in His hands. But I can't totally leave everything to Swami.
That's right.
Without putting effort.
Efforts, yeah.
So the right balance of this is very important. This, I should say, I have learned from my father. Contentment. Appa is my role model in that. He is very, very contented. Doesn't crave for more and more. He would say, when we, you know, crave for more and acquire and accumulate unwanted things, it becomes a burden.
Burden.
That is excess baggage. So think if you want this excess baggage and what pleasure you're going to gain out of it. So that always I keep in mind. I'm just sharing these things, not that I'm a big yogi or anything, but just sharing these things so all of us can just ponder on it and think about all this. What these thoughts have influenced me a lot.
As a singer, how do you balance this bhakti element in singing with musical nuances?
Yeah, very nice question. But Carnatic music, we say bhakti is the aadharam. It's the underlying main source there in Carnatic music. As I told before, we sing the devotional hymns, the outpour of bhakti from the saintly persons, even in today's professional concert platforms. But over the years, when we retrospectively, when we study the evolution of Carnatic music, the intricacies of music, more creative aspects, musical elements, to establish the prowess, the individual talent, exhibiting the talent, everything also have grown. So being a competitive world, though we say we are practicing a very, very noble art form, still when we go into the rat race, then we have to establish and thrive in the musical world, commercial world. At the same time, it is a very, very beautiful field, because subconsciously you utter the greatness and describe the beauty of gods and goddesses and utter good things and spiritual things, greatest values and principles and philosophies. Sometimes even without knowing the meaning, there are, you know, we sing in Sanskrit, Tamil, Telugu, Kannada, Malayalam, Hindi. First of all, to be singing this itself is a great, great fortune, I feel. And it elevates us. The type of music is very, very unique. But as a singer, for me, the lyrics matter a lot. Because once I make it a point to know the understand the meaning of the song and the mood of the song also, to render it with more feel and emotion. And also it's so nice, you know, when we see the meaning, look into the meaning and deeper meaning of the song, then it is double enjoyment while singing. And that Svanubhavam is very, very important while singing. So when we just enjoy and go deep into it and, you know, become aikyam with the nadam and the beauty of everything, then the listeners automatically come with us, and there's one point when we become one with anadam, and that's the ultimate aim of both the musician and the rasikas. That's what they come, because the rasikas also come to the Carnatic music kacheri not for entertainment, it's for enlightenment. That's what I feel. They feel they enter a temple, because if they go to a drama, there's an interval, then they go buy popcorn, they just munch and they take drinks and they, you know, that is a lighter veined thing. But Carnatic music concert people come and listen with more seriousness, and also, so that's why bhakti plays a very, very key role in Carnatic music. And the lyrics are also very, very high level philosophy, and it's better we understand that and sing. And especially for being a vocalist, it matters a lot.
Not, yeah.
So for me, it is very important. I consider the lyrical content, the bhakti element, very important.
Swami also says, like, no, in singing bhajans also, understand the meaning.
Correct.
And then sing, no, then.
Swami in his speeches has quoted lot of kirtanas, Tyagaraj Swami's kirtanas, and yeah.
Swami likes Tyagaraja Kritis very much.
Yeah.
So if
you, I've heard.
If you don't mind, can you please sing a piece for us?
Definitely. He has quoted Yendaro Mahanubhavulu Andariki Vandanamulu in several occasions. I think it will be apt if I sing that. Also, we spoke about a lot of Mahanubhavulus during our course of this interview. Yendaro Mahanubhavulu, Yendaro Mahanubhavulu, Yendaro Mahanubhavulu, Yendaro Mahanubhavulu, Andariki Vandanamu, Lendaro Mahanubhavulu, Andariki Vandanamu, Lendaro Mahanubhavulu Bhaulu.
Blessings of all the Mahanubhavulus are definitely there in your family. So you have two goddesses at home, your two wonderful daughters. So how are you carrying this legacy as a mother?
I think only with the blessings of Mahanubhavulus I should do that. Because parenting itself is a very great art and a responsibility on the mothers. Swami always, you know, insists the responsibility of women in society, especially that of a mother, the role of a mother to the children. Because he says, a man influences monetarily more so, mostly to a family, but the role of a woman impacts and influences the whole society, because the future citizens are also in a mother's hands. So that's why it is a very tough task for mothers like us. I should be thankful to Swami for having blessed me with lovely children, very loving and responsible. Still, it is our duty, you know, to lead them nicely. First of all, we should be good examples before them, void of bad actions, thoughts, gestures, everything. So I always keep correcting myself that I should be a good example, because my children look at me and grow.
Yeah.
So that is one thing first I tell to myself, and insist that they should be good citizens and not stress about anything, because today's children face this problem of stress. They go into depression, etc. and etc. for small things. 50, 60 years back, you know, we grew with a lot of siblings, and the sharing was there, caring was there, and the joint family system was there. But now the nucleus family system has left us with more responsibility and duty to lead the children in the right path. So examination fever, first, I think that should be eradicated. Exam is just a self-evaluation, whether we have learned something rightly. So scoring marks, getting into something, all this, we should not pressurize the children and make them lose the childhood, pleasure of childhood. They should enjoy the childhood. They can be anything. Not that everybody should go into IIT, not underestimating any institution. I'm telling, if the child is interested in pursuing a medicine career, that's fine. But we should not say, no. It is very important. You should go into a professional field. We should allow them to think and do whatever they like. And that's what I'm trying to do with my daughters. They are very interested in music. They sing well, naturally. But still, I don't like to force them. Mm. So they can do whatever they want to do. They have to enjoy the life and do whatever they do with putting their mind and soul into it and doing it properly.
With passion and liking.
With passion and love and liking. That's right. They should blossom into good citizens with having the care and concern for the society. That's what I feel is very important.
Nithya, it would be wonderful if you can share some tips for the younger generation.
This is what I feel. There can be small disappointments or failures, but failure is the stepping stone for success. Keep that in mind. Keep trying. Victory will be yours. Success will be yours. And life is not a bed of roses. So you will face hurdles and obstacles, but you should not give up. Keep trying with full vigor and trust in God. That's very important. Trust in God is like, it gives you so much courage, and it is so refreshing when you feel you have God's support with you. So have trust in God. And prayer is very important. that is time between you and God. Have such disciplines that helps you. These are all few things that we have learnt over the years that keeps us going. It can be in any form. It can be any of your Ishta Devatas. But that discipline will give you control, because God has given us this human form. And how different is it from that of an animal or other living beings? We should emphasize on certain disciplines and restraint, and we should do that. So we have to have that in mind. And materialistic pleasures, don't give it too much of importance, because we didn't bring anything. And when we vacate this world also, we won't take anything.
That's true.
This is a temporary, this is like a rented place. The world is a rented place. We should have that in mind. And Swami's teaching, which I always used to love. When you realize the God within you and also in the other fellow human beings, the peace and the happiness that you get is unequaled. Because when we see God dwelling, especially in the needy, the suffering and the poor, and when we are able to step into their shoe, the love transforms into compassion, compassion into understanding. Then where comes the conflict?
Conflicts.
So world will become a paradise, I feel.
True, very true. Such profound thoughts. These will surely help us all shine in any profession and lead a life that will make Swami happy. It was wonderful listening to you, Nityashree. Thank you so much for being with us in Radio Sai.
I should actually thank Radio Sai and especially Sumitra for having provided me with this wonderful opportunity of sharing my thoughts with the Sai devotees all over the world. And thank you in particular for having asked me different questions, and you made me think in a different perspective. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live. Radio Sai.